You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, Bagcinile Jordan is the co-founder and director of Impressions Smartwear, a leading provider of ready-made formal wear and tailor-made suits. With a keen eye for style and passion for craftsmanship, Bagcinile has played a pivotal role in establishing Impressions Smartwear as a go-to destination for individuals seeking both off-the-rack elegance and a personalized suit wear. I think I'm going to love the personalized bits about it. Yeah. So really nice. Now, his commitment to quality and innovation has driven the brand's success, making it a standout choice in the world of formal wear. Now, Bagcinile's journey is marked by a fusion of entrepreneurial spirit and a deep appreciation for the artistry behind fine clothing. Did you hear that? Yeah, artistry behind fine clothing, making, of course, making him a driving force in the realm of contemporary wear. And he's joining us, I believe, on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Tafela.
How are you today?
I'm okay, man. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm doing well. How was your day?
It was busy as it can be.
Okay. They say busy is good. I don't know if you agree.
To some extent, yes, I do.
Ah, you're a typical workaholic, eh? I can see it already. Hey?
Not to the extremes.
Just not to the extreme.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's good then. Yeah, that's good. If it's not to the extreme, because yeah, if it goes to the extreme, sometimes it can be a little bit too much. But thank you so much, sir, for taking your time this evening. We really appreciate it. I know you are a busy man, but really appreciate your time this evening. Bagcinile Jordan. I wanna get into this segment, but before I get into this segment, you know, we talk to a lot of people like yourselves, especially every Thursday when we look at this particular segment, which is called Shapeshifters, and these are people that you know, are leading in the different industries. And the reason why we do this, Bagcinile, is because there could be other young people that look up to you, that have seen the work that you do, and most of them don't have the chance to talk to Bagcinile and ask him, how did you get to be where you are and what is it that you did? And so this segment is basically about that, as you try and understand the person behind Bagcinile and how you made it. So I want to then go back, if you allow me, sir, and say, who are you? You know, it might be a strange question, you know, and maybe a question that you don't always get, if, you know, and because maybe some people are quite familiar with you. But if you had to describe yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself, who are you?
Okay. Thank you so much for for the opportunity. Also, I noticed that you pronounced my name incorrectly.
Bagcinile,
yes. Yes, but I don't blame you. Quite a lot of people miss this name.
Yeah,
but I think your question is actually a very difficult question, because I mean, how do you summarize your whole entire life into a little about yourself?
Yeah,
but I was born in a town called Amthatha.
Okay,
Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
I was raised in a small rural town called Lusikisiki.
Okay.
Raised by a single mother of three.
Okay.
So maybe three things about me. One,
yeah,
I'm passionate about making money.
That's
probably,
good. That's
probably
good.
Because I don't have much. So I'm
okay.
I could be passionate about making money. Secondly, I love football.
Okay.
Proud supporter of one of the biggest and most successful English teams, Manchester United.
And locally?
Orlando Pirates.
We can end this interview. I don't talk to Orlando Pirates people.
No.
I thought you were going to say the biggest and most successful team in South Africa, maybe even a tad bit into the African continent, Kaizer Chiefs. But I was disappointed. Yeah.
No, leave Kaizer Chiefs out of this conversation.
Okay.
You need to maintain friendly relations.
So you like football?
Lastly,
yeah.
Yeah. that I genuinely do. And lastly, and I think most importantly, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
I believe holistically in the ministry of Christ, standing on the side of the marginalized, being there.
Yeah.
Fighting prejudices that exist.
Yeah.
Also loving your neighbor and in general being a good person.
Okay. Lusikisiki. Amtata, as you put it, which is quite great. What type of a place is it?
Lusikisiki or Amtata?
Well, let's start with Lusikisiki because I think that's at the core.
Lusikisiki is a very small town,
yeah.
But interesting, it has quite a number of tourist attractions.
Yeah,
we have I think about three beaches.
Yeah,
I think it's Mkaba, Kambati and Moji.
Yeah.
So we are actually quite rich in that aspect. We also have a place where we make tea. Around the same area where there's Moji, which is the beach. So we're quite a, though small, quite a rich town in actual fact.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really cool. And then Amtata, I think there's an airport there, if I'm not wrong.
Yes, there is an airport.
Yeah.
Amtata. But in Amtata, I was just born there.
Oh.
Better. It does.
I know.
Hotels, but then my hometown is Lusikisiki.
Yeah. Okay. What are some of the challenges that you faced growing up in Lusikisiki? I mean, you know, when you look at the community as well, what are some of the social, cultural, or even socioeconomic challenges that you saw yourself in the community with your friends, you know, especially in a rural town?
Okay. Well, I think for starters, I'm still growing up. So
okay.
I face quite a number of challenges myself. So maybe on the personal aspect of the challenges, one of the main challenges that I experienced while growing up, and I think I'm going to mention this one because it kind of extends its claws into quite a number of aspects about my life, and it's the fact that I grew up without a present father in my life. So I was a young boy, chaotic, at the world, at everyone and anything I could be angry at.
Yeah.
And as such, it affected the type of boy that I was.
Yeah.
I had to outgrow quite a lot of things. I had to go through disciplinary actions a lot of times.
Sure.
So there was also an aspect about me that was very challenging during my younger years.
Yeah.
However, on a broader spectrum, some of the challenges that I think quite a lot of us faced growing up in Lusikisiki is that there was a widespread, perhaps I'm being too hyperbolic when I say widespread, but the financial illiteracy. And perhaps it was because we ourselves were raised by parents who were financially illiterate to some extent. And of course, it is probably because they were also raised by parents who were financially, and we cannot blame them for that, because I mean, we all know the challenges that are faced in South Africa. They had no time to be financially. I mean, if you're fighting for your freedom, that becomes the main priority over being financially literate, because at the end of the day, what are you going to do with financial literacy if you're not free?
Yeah.
So out of that, we were raised by parents who were financially illiterate, not of their own doing. And as such, of the lessons that we were taught financially were from a spectrum of trauma. So some of the lessons we taught financially were just as a result of trauma. For example, I remember at the time, I was having a conversation in my local church about finance, and then we delved into the concept of debt.
Yeah.
The minute I mentioned that debt can be positive, it's like babendikya gamazinyo. Because for them, their experience with debt is very negative.
Yeah.
And as such, they want nothing to do with debt.
Yeah.
They don't care how you tell them about death or what you tell them about it, because they experience with death
trauma
is negative, then what they then communicate to us is from spectrum. So then we are not then groomed and taught about finding holistically. So that was one challenge that we faced. Second to that, I think the issue of limited access. Being young people growing up in a rural area with very limited access technologically, otherwise. Some of the careers, some of the career choices that we now have, and not because we were fortunate enough to have access to this wide variety of careers. We just knew that you have to be a doctor, you have to be a nurse, teacher, because that's what we know can bring some form of financial muscles. Even the schools that we went to, our influence in going to them was limited to where we are. So we were not given the privilege of access. So I think from the top of my head, those are the two main challenges that we face growing up from a rural and small town.
And how have that those you know, affected and shaped and maybe even influenced the person that you are today, as politicians would say, with the benefit of hindsight?
Okay, I think to a very large extent, they have influenced the way in which I look at the world, in the sense that I'm very passionate about making sure that someone who comes from a similar background does get it. I'm very passionate about making sure that the future that we want is not hindered simply because we do not have access. And I also try by all means to ensure to the best of my abilities and to those with whom I get to communicate to ensure that you get this information. But at the same time, in as much as I think and believe that my background has shaped majority of who I am today, I believe that it only goes to a certain extent, but majority of who I am right now is only just the sum of the decisions take on a daily basis. So from the moment I wake up right up until I sleep, if I aggregate that in a week, I can actually find a pattern of why I am here today. All those decisions I take every day. So in as much as I think and believe that one's background can have a large influence in the type of person that they are, but I also believe that those small decisions we take every day do form who we are in the present.
Sure, that's amazing, because I think a lot of us think for the now, right? And we worry about now. We don't think about how the now affects 10 years, 20 years from now. And the sum of the decisions that you said adds up. You know, we don't think about it mathematically like that, that it actually adds up at the end of the day, whether you like it or you don't. Fantastic. And then school, high school specifically, did you do it in Lusikisiki and or not? And how was high school?
I did it in Amtata. I did it in Amtata. High school, that was the most fun time of my life.
Okay.
I got to meet people who have become lifelong friends. I got to meet people who became parents to me, became mentors to me. I also got to learn and understand myself much better. I got exposed to avenues that opened up platforms to learn more about myself, to understand things about myself that I did not even think I needed to understand. So high school was just a huge learning curve for me.
And how did it influence your career moves? Because that's where I want to go. You find that, I don't know about you, but in most of the schools, especially in the you know, the location and rural areas, there's not a lot of career development or career guidance. I remember a time when we used to still have career guidance at school, but it was taken away subsequently. And how has that shaped you and morphed you into the type of career that you then pursued?
Okay, I think I have to congratulate my high school in that regard, because they actually did prioritize career guidance, right? But in as much as I applaud them, I do feel to some extent that their approach to career guidance was skewed in a particular direction only.
Okay.
Because, for example, for people like me who are in business, there was never an opportunity, a guidance of some sort as to how then do we go about business, what do we do from here, how to run business, how to handle finances, etc. In that regard, I do feel there is an area of improvement, even though I also do believe there's been much that has been done. So I do applaud some college to some extent, but I do feel there is quite a huge area of growth.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, let's talk about your business then. What drew you to it?
Could you please repeat the question?
What drew you to your business, the type of business? I mean, there's a lot of other businesses you could have pursued out there, but you went straight into this one. What drew you to it? Do you love clothes?
Well, I think there's two things that drew me to this business.
Yeah.
One, obviously, it's money.
That's an important one.
Very important.
Yeah, very, very important.
The other one is looking good.
Okay, another important one.
So I tried to combine the two to make money out of it. But I also think that that one of the strongest driving force is that I've always been a business person at heart.
Yeah.
Right from primary. I remember I used to sell everything that I could sell.
Yeah.
Chips, your sweets, everything.
Yeah.
I think I was around about in grade 3, grade 4, around about there.
Mm.
And also, there was a period where I went into small-scale poultry farming. That's just before I got into the current space that I in now.
Okay, and when did you get into it, and what sparked the idea from poultry farming? I mean, two different worlds
indeed. I think it was in 2022.
It was last year.
I think around about July.
Yeah.
About July. At first, it started as one of these many ventures that I start getting into business. But then later on, I realized how much I'm in love with this. And we then formalized the business with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
Formalized it, registered it, and ran it probably as a business. Then we grew. Thinking about it as just a money-making tool and influenced by wanting to look good, and started actually venturing into how to run it as a proper business, which then drives me back to my previous point about how little guidance we had in terms of running businesses, handling finances and the likes.
We'll come back to the finances bit, because it's always an interesting one. And as a business and finance show, we are very interested in such things. But it sounds like this world of fashion and bringing the two together sort of found you in a way. 2022, I mean, from like I'm saying, it's almost like two different worlds, from small scale poultry farming to now doing clothes and wanting to look good and then making money out of it, which is great. What motivates you?
What motivates me?
Yes.
That's a very difficult question. That's a very difficult question, because I think to some extent, motivation is a byproduct of being disciplined.
Okay.
Because it has to, in its truest form, be intrinsic in nature. So it has to come within. And something that comes within, it is when you don't feel like it. It has drive you, even during those, even in the days where you're facing extreme difficulties, it has to drive you. And the only way you are able to do that is through being disciplined. So I think to a great extent, discipline is the greatest motivator.
Do you mean being disciplined? As in, because you know how we associate discipline with ukshawe ekhaya. So, so how is that a motivator? How is discipline a motivator when it has almost negative connotations? And I'm interested in how you're seeing it, because I think that for me is interesting. And maybe we talk from trauma when we think about discipline from that negative connotation. And here you are bringing us something that's really different, which I really like, by the way, to say, no, discipline shouldn't be looked like that only.
Yes, yes. I think for me, discipline is doing what's supposed to be done when it's supposed to be done. Regardless of your feelings about it. Regardless of whether you are interested. Or interest, if it's what's supposed to be done, do it when it's supposed to.
Yeah, it's about doing what needs to be done. That's amazing, right? And looking at so far, starting the business and kind of running it and looking at a year or so now into it, what would you say is the one challenge you've faced so far?
One challenge. It's difficult to just mention.
Oh, so there's 10 of them.
There's quite a number of
challenges
that we've faced. But I think most of the challenges, not all, but most are as a result of the fact that we had to learn while doing. Primarily, when we started operating online. So we were online business, and we tried by all means to ensure that we protect all our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp. But what we failed to do is to initiate a two-factor authentication on WhatsApp. Sometime during the year, I think it was around about June, July, we had switched off the business phone. It was on Sabbath, we're in church, switched off the business phone. And then when we come back later in the evening, switch on the phone, we realize that we are receiving quite a number of SMSs about a SIM swap being done on our number. And then try to log on to our WhatsApp, we've been kicked out. And apparently someone else is using our number, and they were using our number to scam people into making purchases. So that's one of the challenges that we faced. But of course, we weathered through that. We quickly devised means to try and combat that. But only that's not been the only challenges that we've faced. We've also cash flow challenges. I think one of the most important aspects in running a business is being cash flow fluid. Because we were trying by all means to get into new ventures, we ended up struggling a bit in terms of our cash flow.
I see.
So we got to learn that right while doing the things. And also, I think to some extent, we did face some pricing strategy challenges, right? First, we entered into the market using entry pricing strategies, but then as we grew, it became difficult for those prices to be sustainable. So in our attempts to try and manage our growth and apply our prices to our level of growth, we made a whole mess out of that. And it was a whole struggle. But if we sit here and talk about challenges, I'm telling you, it would take up
only, it would take forever. Yeah, which is why then I want to get into the most in terms of when you look at the challenges, there must, I'm sure, be that one point where you're like, yeah, I think this one we got right. So which one would be one of your high points so far?
One of our hard. I think it's deciding to grow. In deciding to grow, because I think that's when we actually realized that we are actually good at this.
Deciding to grow, meaning it was not just an incidental thing.
No, it wasn't an incidental thing. We decided it's time to actually grow from where we are.
Sure.
When we started, we were just doing off the rack.
So yeah.
So we decided, let's go the extra mile.
Yeah.
Let's do it from scratch.
Yeah.
Let's tailor them to the customer's desires, wants, and needs. Mm. Let's make the best for the customer.
Mm.
Then we to grow in that, and it's been amazing. I'm not even going great. We got to experience a side of the business that we did not think exists.
Sure.
Where we can see someone being happy, we can experience the emotions of someone else from what we have made for them.
Yeah.
So it was also a very beautiful experience. An experience that which we are growing in, and we are enjoying the growth.
I love that. So I think the message to young people is growth is not incidental. You have to decide that you want to grow. And that's how you are able to achieve. I mean, we're running out of time, but when I get back into the money business, I told you we're going to talk back about money. When you look at your relationship with money, how would you describe it? Toxic? Good? Want to stay there? Oh, I saw Zwani mina ne mali. Yeah.
I think my relationship with money. I think we have a very chaotic relationship with money.
Okay.
I'd say chaotic. We try. It's extremely chaotic. I have a... I've noticed this about myself. This is on a personal level, and I've noticed that I do make money, but I also lose money.
Okay.
Lose money. I need to sit down and analyze my habits even more.
Yeah, and find what's the root cause of all of this.
What exactly is the root cause of all of this? But I think also my relationship, I think we're in the talking stage.
Okay.
there are a lot of things I'm learning about money. At the same time, a lot of things I'm learning about myself in relation to money.
Yeah.
I come to understand that the type of person that I am outside of money plays a huge role in how I handle money.
So
those are the things that I'm learning about money, and I believe a lot of learning takes place during the talking stage. So I think we are there, me and money.
We are getting there. And then what would you say is the one mistake that you think you've made about money?
One mistake?
Yeah.
I've made quite a lot of mistakes with money.
Okay.
I think the most notable mistake, I had a supplier, Chicks, while I was still doing my
poultry business.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I came up with a brilliant idea. And so I invested in his idea, and suffice to say, I lost thousands of rands.
Sure.
It's a lot of thousands, by the way.
Sure.
But what I got to learn was that I need to make my due diligence when it comes to making decisions about my money. I cannot just rely on emotions and what I see at face value. And to sit down and analyze from all possible, because I can assure you, it's not a nice feeling to lose so much money.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
And money mistakes are there a lot. I mentioned that I'm in the talking stages, in terms of relationship with money. So I got to learn about the importance of having to budget. But I still think that I don't stick to the budget probably 60% of the time. Budget. So that's still one of the many mistakes I still do make.
Yeah.
And also, there's quite a lot of unplanned spending on my part. So, at least I know about these things.
Yes.
I think the first step in rectifying
any situation. So they say.
Exactly, yes. I'm trying to comfort myself here.
That's why I'm saying so, they say. But yeah, I think it's pretty true. It starts there, right? Recognizing what the problem is so that you can work at it. Okay, as we draw to an end, what advice would you give to, let's say, your younger self?
Okay. Ah, my younger self.
Yes.
Oh, man. I'll tell that young boy to be brave.
To be brave.
Go out, take the risk.
Yeah.
Believe in myself.
Yeah.
Actually tell him that he's actually more than capable.
Sure.
Yes, because I believe if someone had told me that then,
yeah,
I'd probably be way far than I am right now.
Sure. And I think that's really important because there's quite perhaps a lot of young people that are struggling with identity, who they are, what they want, and what they want to achieve in this life. I really love that.
Yes, yes, true.
Sure. Be brave a little bit more. And what would you do differently?
Oh, what would I do differently? Oh, there's a lot of things I'd do differently, man.
Yeah.
I think, though, the main thing, I would jump into business straight away.
Straight away.
Straight away. I've realized my passion for making money has always been there.
Yeah.
Has always been there. I just needed to be in a space where I actually live that out.
Yes. You know? Yes.
So I think what I would have done differently is delaying getting into business.
Sure. Delaying getting into business. That's an interesting one. All right. And where are we 10 years from now? I'm sure there's a lot on the table.
10 years from now.
Yes.
I think the most the most obvious one.
Yeah.
10 years from now, I'm definitely going to be married with a family.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Also, I do see myself in 10 years running one of the leading bespoke tailoring companies in the next 10 years. I look up to I'm not sure if you'll know Suitability.
Okay, we'll check them out. Yeah,
and check them out as well. I look at them,
yeah,
and I do see myself probably reaching those levels half 10 years, 5 years from now, then probably in 10 years be one of the leading bespoke tailoring companies in South Africa.
Oh, fantastic. That's lovely. Young people from your town, some that you've met through your interactions, business people, church, young people that look up to you, what would be your words of encouragement to them? And maybe also, how do they follow you and your business as well?
I think it's going to sound very impractical for most ears. But I think the most important thing I'd say to everyone, young people, people in business, put God first in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put God first, everything. I think when you put God first in everything, everything else becomes clearer for you. If you apply that in all the aspects of your life, then I think you are bound to have a much more successful life. And for people who want to follow my journey in business, they can through my personal Instagram account at Bagcine Jordan. For my business account, they can follow us on at impressions_smart _where.
Yeah, that's where they can find you. Sure. Thank you so much, sir, for your time. Really appreciate it. And it's been such a beautiful conversation. I do hope, you know, our listeners, myself included, taking a few notes just on your life, and we'll definitely be following you. But all the best. Hope to chat to you 5 years. We didn't say 10 years. I heard you saying 5 years. So in 5 years or less, we'll be checking in with you around where your business is at that time. But thank you so much for spending your time with us this evening. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Have a good one.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.